When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Caroline Spencer, a dedicated private nurse, is thrust into a nightmare beyond comprehension. Hired to care for a woman crippled in a hunting accident, she soon discovers that her patient's affliction is not purely physical, because within her lurks a malevolent presence that defies logic. Was it really demonic possession? And what sinister events led to it? And how would it end? And crucially, what secrets lay hidden inside the old hut made of stone? Join me as we together journey into the heart of paranormal darkness. I'm Peter Laws, and tonight on Frightful, we unravel the Caroline Spencer mystery and the patient from hell. The year was 1969, and Caroline Spencer was looking for a new nursing job. Not in a hospital, because she specialized in private care, moving into domestic houses to look after sick individuals. And so she was delighted to get a phone call from a young businessman, a man called Peter Esten. He had a job offer. His wife, Meg Esten, had been out hunting when tragedy struck. She had been involved in some sort of accident. He didn't explain exactly what it was, but it was enough to leave her paralyzed from the waist down. Peter gave more details over the phone.
Well, Caroline, I gotta tell you, my wife Meg is an absolute saint. She never complains. You'll really like her. Mm-hmm. Oh, and we have a maid, too. She's called Mrs. Cromwell.
Okay.
She's there every day until around 5 each afternoon, so she'll take care of the cooking and any cleaning that needs to be done.
This sounds great.
You'll be staying in the house, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a big old place. We do not have children. I travel with work a lot, and that leaves Beck sitting there in the place alone in her bedroom.
Bless her.
The nights are particularly lonely, with Mrs. Cromwell gone, so I just think having you around is gonna not just help her body, you know, but her spirit. So, do you understand, Caroline?
Yes, I do.
Does that mean you'll take the job?
Yes, it does. I think I can help her.
Ah, that's wonderful. I'm so pleased. You and Meg are gonna get along so well. I can feel it.
Caroline hung up the phone, excited for what lay ahead. She had no clue that she had just said yes to a nightmare. Caroline arrived at the Esten household early in the evening. It was about 5:30 p.m. She'd been informed that Peter Esten was away on a 3-day business trip. And because of the time of day, Caroline also knew that Mrs. Cromwell, the maid, would have left by now. And so she stood there looking up at this huge old house and gulped. This was her new home, and it was impressive. She rummaged in her bag for the house key that Peter had sent through the mail and let herself in to her new home and workplace. She set her bags down, and considering the time of everything, she could have just gone straight to the kitchen to eat. She'd been told by Peter Esten that Mrs. Cromwell would leave some warm dinner in the oven, but you know, Caroline was a good nurse. and her first priority would be to meet her new patient. And so she climbed the creaking stairs and moved along the landing, following the directions she'd been told. And then she saw the door to Meg Eston's bedroom. She knocked gently, didn't want to startle her, and then pushed her way inside, ready with a huge smile. Meg Eston was not asleep. Far from it. She was sat upright in her bed, with her back propped against two large purple satin pillows. And so Caroline walked towards the bed, reaching out her hand in welcome to her new patient. And she immediately noticed Meg Eston's beauty. Gosh, she was young and gorgeous, with long blonde hair flowing across the pillows. And Peter's words from the phone call came to mind.
I gotta tell you, my wife Meg is in absolute safe.
It's true. She really did look angelic, which only made what happened next so disorientating. Mrs. Eston's pretty mouth rippled into an awkward, unpleasant grin. The case notes put it like this, quote,
Meg Eston greeted her with a strange smile, stretching her lips in what almost appeared to be a leer.
And from that stretched mouth came a voice.
Hello? Hello? Hi, Mrs. Eston. I'm in a nurse. Your husband? What have told you about?
Hello. Hello, Caroline. You're gonna get along just fine.
I asked Mrs. Eston how she knew my first name, since I always wish to keep things on as professional a basis as possible with my clients. She told me that she knew lots of things about me. This tree puzzled me because Mr. Eston and I had not exchanged any information on any personal matter. I should have noticed then that Mrs. Eston's eyes had a strange cast to them. They almost seemed to be like a flame, you know, flickering by each of them. Anyway, I excused myself and I went to the kitchen to begin serving dinner to Mrs. Eston. I had to fetch it on this elaborate wooden tray that stretched across her queen-size bed.
Caroline headed down to the kitchen to get Mrs. Eston's food from the oven. But while she was gathering the food together, she heard her new patient starting to holler from upstairs.
Caroline! Caroline! Come here! Come here now, Caroline!
On that first night, Mrs. Eston would end up summoning Caroline to the bedroom over and over again. And every time it was for the most trivial or even ridiculous reasons. And every time Caroline did her best to help, but whatever she did, Mrs. Eston would complain loudly about how incompetent her new nurse was. And this back and forth and the verbal abuse went on for hours. Caroline told the paranormal researcher Brad Steiger, who covered this case, that the first night in the house was absolutely exhausting, being summoned again and again for no good reason. And so feeling shattered and desperate for rest, Caroline suggested that they both get some sleep. Mrs. Eston responded to that with a peal of cold laughter.
I don't need any sleep, and you're not gonna get any either.
Caroline backed out of the room awkwardly and headed to her bedroom, resting her head on her new pillow and wondering what on earth she had let herself in for. If this was the first night, what would tomorrow bring? Still exhausted, Caroline dragged herself out of bed the next morning, but she wanted to be ready for her duties and also, of course, to meet Mrs. Cromwell, the maid. And so bleary-eyed, Caroline found the maid in the house and said hello, introduced herself. Mrs. Cromwell took one look at Caroline and said,
Hi. Oh, hi. You look worn out, sweetheart. Mm-hmm. Weren't you able to sleep last night?
No.
Can't get used to a strange new bed, huh?
No, the bed is fine. It's, well, it's... Mm-hmm. It's Mrs. Eston.
Oh?
What do you mean?
Well, I've been up all night with her.
Really?
She kept calling me in for anything and everything.
No.
I wasn't expecting this, but she's... Well, she is incredibly demanding.
No.
Mrs. Cromwell's jaw dropped at this statement, and Steiger says, quote, that she
studied Caroline carefully in several moments of skeptical silence.
She said that Caroline couldn't possibly be talking about the same woman. Mrs. Esten really was a saint, just like her husband had said. And she said she'd never heard her boss complain about a single thing. And so if she was acting strangely, well, clearly she must be ill. She must have some ailment, the flu perhaps. Caroline didn't buy this at all. Two separate people, Mrs. Cromwell and Mrs. Esten, had both given a wonderful, kind and patient version of Mrs. Esten. But the woman up there in that bed was nothing of the sort. Here's another quote, a direct quote from Caroline.
I could not wait to meet Peter Esten in person and get on the peace of my mind. So his wife was a saint, huh? She never complained? Somehow this woman had certainly fooled her husband and her day maid. I decided to call Mrs. Esten's doctor and arrange for some tranquilizers or sleep aids for her. That would at least help me get some sleep at night. I explained Mrs. Esten's behavior of the night before, and the doctor expressed his amazement, but he said that he would stop right after lunch on his way to do rounds at the hospital.
Something very odd happened at that moment. Caroline had put the phone down after talking to the family doctor. When she clicked the phone into the receiver, it was almost like pressing a button to start a new sound from upstairs. And she could hear it. It was the sound of singing. But the voice was male, not female. There was a man up there right now, and he was right now singing a bizarre song.
The God, he takes me somewhere.
Caroline got up and started to move towards the staircase and listened closer, and she was shocked to hear how obscene and sexualized the lyrics were. Caroline must have looked around wondering where Mrs. Cromwell was. Maybe she was out buying groceries or was somewhere else in this large house, but she was sure that that was not Mrs. Cromwell's voice up there singing. And so Caroline walked to the bottom of the stairs to look up, and her mind sprang up with an instant theory as she started to slowly climb the stairs. Mrs. Esten had a lover. She tricked the others into thinking she was all sweet and innocent, but actually she was having a sordid affair behind Peter's back. She was, to be fair, an absolutely stunningly attractive woman. Keen to know the truth, Caroline slowly ascended the rest of the stairs as this hideous and offensive singing went on. And she moved down the corridor and reached out a hand for the door, readying herself to face Mrs. Esten in the embrace of her lover. What would she say? And how would she say it? Caroline took a breath and pushed the door open. Mrs. Esten was sitting up in bed alone, and her mouth was moving as she turned her head slowly towards Caroline, and from those beautiful yet strained, open, splitting lips came the voice of a man.
This monster in my dreams, our favorite.
And somehow this foul and shockingly gravelly deep voice was coming from Mrs. Esten's own throat. Once Meg Esten fully saw Caroline coming through the bedroom door, the low voice stopped immediately, but then it immediately snapped at Caroline in anger.
What are you doing? Why did you call him? Why did you call a psychic doctor? You bloody little telltale. Why did you do it? Answer me, why? Why?
Are you okay? Do you need to talk about it?
Shut up and listen. You are going to be in for a big surprise.
Caroline span on her feet and left the room, shutting the door behind her tightly. And she just breathlessly waited in the landing for the doctor to arrive. The sound of that hideous and perverse voice was ringing in her head, and surely the doctor would have to see that something was catastrophically wrong with Meg Eston.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The doctor arrived, and Caroline eagerly greeted him at the door. She quickly led him up the stairs to Mrs. Eston's room, explaining that clearly something was very wrong with their shared patient. But when they went inside to check on her, her mistress turned towards the door in her bed, gave the sweetest, most prettiest smile, and said,
"Doc, how sweet of you to drop by. You've met Caroline. Isn't she wonderful?"
Caroline just stood there feeling confused, shocked, awkward. The doctor and Mrs. Eston chatted for a while, and he probably made a few medical checks and was satisfied that all was well. But after that, he asked Caroline to see him. And she writes this:
"The doctor stopped for a cup of coffee with me before he left. I wanted to mention the coarse and vulgar tone and language that Mrs. Eston had been using moments before he arrived, but I could tell from his manner that I was the one under analysis. He tried to make the conversation about like medical schools and courses of study to sound casual and shop talkish. But I knew that he was really sounding me out about my experiences and my background. Behind his pleasant, professional smile, he was questioning my qualifications as a private nurse."
Caroline had been suggesting that Mrs. Eston needed tranquilizers to help her sleep at night, but the doctor saw absolutely no reason whatsoever to give her such a strong prescription. His patient clearly looked well rested and refreshed just a moment ago. Caroline said she tried to argue her reasoning, but the doctor became quite blunt with her and decided to leave. It was early in the afternoon at this point, and so Mrs. Cromwell was on the premises going about her duties. Because Mrs. Cromwell was still around, Caroline felt that probably Mrs. Eston would be on her best behavior again, and so Caroline saw an opportunity to finally get some decent rest. And so, shattered, she fell asleep on the top of her covers in her bedroom. The case notes say she was still wearing her uniform. It was a deep sleep until something shocked her awake.
"Caroline, come here, whore. Where are you, you slut?"
Caroline sat up, wincing at this horrible sound, this croaky, gravelly voice that just scuttled through the house like an insect. But this was her job. This was her patient. So she got up, straightened out her uniform, and left her room, walking through this large and shadow-filled house to Mrs. Eston's bedroom. And she opened the door and looked straight into Mrs. Eston's eyes. And she described in her statement that the eyes looked like they were black. And the word she used was glittering. She asked Mrs. Eston why she was saying such terrible things. And her patient just snapped her head back and laughed like a maniac, berating her for being so weak. That's how the second night went. Caroline, having to cope with this foul-mouthed and impossibly deep voice spewing from this bedridden woman. But what made it worse was that Caroline knew that she had to bathe Mrs. Eston, and she had to do that tonight. Bathing a patient is a core part of a care job, and if she was to neglect keeping her clean, she'd be fired for certain. No matter how creepy this woman was being, Caroline, she had a duty of care. And so she braced herself and went to the bed with a bowl and cloth and soap, ready to clean her up. Caroline pulled the covers back as Mrs. Eston just watched her doing it closely. And she took a deep breath and started to peel off Mrs. Eston's nightclothes, conscious of those dark eyes on her. And she could hear her groaning horribly. Once Mrs. Esten was naked, Caroline took the cloth and started to lift Mrs. Esten's arms and her paralyzed legs to clean here and there. Which is when Mrs. Esten's hand suddenly shot out and grabbed Caroline by the throat. She had been verbally abusive up until now, but now it had slipped over into physical attack. Now, I know what you might be thinking. Nobody would put up with this sort of behavior at work. They would walk out. But, you know, this is where you're wrong. I've known many nurses and carers, and I consulted a couple during the research for this episode. And they told me that, you know, sometimes you end up working with patients who are abusive verbally and physically. And sometimes you kind of have to face that. It doesn't mean it's acceptable, but it's, what are you going to do? Just leave them completely? I know one woman who had a huge clump of her hair pulled out by a patient once. But she kept on trying to help the patient. But the point is, being physically manhandled can be an inevitable risk in certain care jobs. It's just a reminder of how much respect carers and nurses deserve for working in really challenging conditions sometimes. So as horrible as this was, it rings true to me that Caroline Spencer did not just walk out after being grabbed by the throat. Indeed, Caroline used her training in that moment to grapple with Mrs. Esten's arm. And the caseload said she managed to pull that grasping hand away from her neck, and then the damp and naked Mrs. Esten just slunk back into her bed, her voice just as hostile and just as threatening and just as sleazy. And she said,
"You're stronger than you look. But how are you in bed? Huh? Huh? What do you like in bed? You've got a lot of stamina. I bet you do. Can you show a man a good time? Huh? Can you? When I get these legs working, I'll show you. I'll show you. I'll show you right now."
Caroline said she was utterly horrified by this moment. Again, I've spoken to multiple carers who have had the experience of unwanted sexual comments and stares from people in their care. Obviously, not everyone, but occasionally. So Caroline was a professional and she tried to ignore Mrs. Esten's behaviors and dried her patient off. Tried to ignore those seedy eyes and obscene grunts. And then she pulled the nightclothes back on and tugged the covers back over her. And she took the bowl of dirty water and left the room. And finally, she was out of Mrs. Esten's threatening, polluted orbit. As she poured the old water down the sink, she just kept theorizing about what on earth was happening in that bedroom. Clearly, Caroline thought this hunting accident had affected Mrs. Esten in a far more substantial way. Caroline wondered if the attack had somehow damaged her psyche, splitting it into some form of dangerous and extreme schizophrenia. After all, she'd act like an angel one minute, but then the next she would be behaving more like the dead. She stopped pouring out the water and heard that word in her head. More like the devil. Here's another direct quote from Caroline.
"When the word devil crossed my thoughts, it seemed unconsciously to trigger some old concepts from my very religious childhood that had been banished years ago by my scientific training. Dimly, in the farthest reaches of my mind, I began to think about possession, about evil spirits, demons, creatures that I had rejected as products of superstitious minds long ago."
What happened next made Caroline's blood run cold. She had to go back into Meg Esten's room for something, and she approached and sat in a chair that was next to the bed. There was always a chair right there. She couldn't help but think of all of those religious images flitting through her head of demons and the devil and all that sort of old-fashioned stuff. Which is when Mrs. Esten started laughing horribly. And she said,
"Ah, you're starting to understand now, eh? Meg Esten. to ill with her. Come on, come closer, come closer. Come closer and find out who I really am.
This was too much. This was too frightening. Caroline stood up from her chair and quickly rushed out of the room, her heart just slamming against her chest, and she went straight to the telephone. She made a desperate call to the doctor again. If he could only see what she really was like, then he'd know that something was terribly wrong. But her hand hovered over the cradle. Who was she kidding? By the time the doctor had arrived, Mrs. Esten would be all smiles and bright eyes, deceiving everybody in that house, apart from some reason Caroline. As she thought about all of this, Caroline winced with the stress of it, as the hallway echoed with the sound of Mrs. Esten's wailing and screaming and singing of vulgar sexual songs. Caroline hurried to her bedroom and lay on the bed, her hands over her ears, just trying to drown the horrendous screaming out. Something unusual happened later that night. Caroline quickly noticed that the horrendous and boorish wailing had actually stopped. Mrs. Esten was shockingly quiet for once. Curious, Caroline left her room and she turned her ear towards the landing and she could listen out to a tiny sound of moaning or whimpering. Mrs. Esten was weeping up there. Astonished, the nurse hurried to Mrs. Esten's door, but she paused for a moment before going in, thinking, sure, it's got to be some sort of trick. She braced herself for the tirade of abuse that was about to come, but when she cracked open the door, her patient was lying in the bed, with tears just streaming down her cheeks, and she looked her normal, beautiful self. Caroline rushed towards the bedside, and she heard Meg Esten say this.
Please, who are you? Are you my nurse?
Yes.
Where's my husband? Where's Peter?
He's away. This.
I'm so afraid. What has happened?
Can I hold your hand?
Caroline was amazed and she sat in the seat next to the bed. Then Meg added this unsettling detail.
Please, nurse. You've got to keep that horrible, ugly abode away from me.
Yes.
So Caroline was disturbed, understandably, but she also realized that this rare moment of calm meant she could finally feed Mrs. Esten with some soup. And to her relief, Mrs. Esten actually took it. And they talked for a while, with Caroline soothing her and letting her know that she was not alone. And all the while, the nurse was fighting against her instinct that told her this. What if this is more than schizophrenia? What if this is something entirely different or spiritual? After a while, Caroline could see how exhausted Meg Esten was and frankly how tired she was herself. And so they both amicably agreed that it would be wise to go and get some sleep. But if Caroline thought she was actually going to get rest, she was wrong. She'd gone back to her room and got ready for bed and was just slipping under the covers to put her head on the pillow when she heard that rancid, grating voice come back again. But this time, the voice sounded really weird, really different, like something was obstructing it. Caroline sat up to listen and she realized that the lurching sound she could hear was Mrs. Esten vomiting. Caroline rushed up to the bedroom with cold cloths ready to clean up the vomit, but when she pushed open the door, Mrs. Esten just yanked her head in the direction of the door, and with vomit dripping from her chin, she said,
"No food for you.
Stop it, please.
And no rest. No rest until I stop your heart,
no.
You slut. Look. No rest until I push you down into hell."
Caroline could barely believe what she herself did next, but she could no longer keep it in.
Let her lie. Let her lie in filth and vomit. Let her die. Let her die in filth and vomit.
I know what you are. I know what you are now.
Here's another direct quote from Caroline Spencer.
I had been in church for years, but I still prayed. I still felt like a spiritual person. And all I can say now is that it must have been the Holy Spirit that entered me that night. I talked on and on about God's love and God's forgiveness.
As Caroline did this, she said that Mrs. Esten clamped her palms against her head and started to scream like her head was going to explode. She refused to listen to this talk about God. Caroline kept going, though, and Mrs. Esten gradually seemed to lose energy, and she collapsed back into the bed and just lay there in an uncharacteristic but very welcome silence. Sensing another respite, Caroline rushed to the bed with her clothes and started to mop up all of the foul-smelling vomit, and there would be no further incidents that night. The next day, Caroline waited eagerly for Peter Esten to return from his business trip, and he arrived early in the evening. As soon as he opened the door and saw Caroline, his face dropped.
Caroline, what is wrong?
Mr. Esten, please, you've just got to come with me.
She rushed him upstairs and opened Mrs. Esten's bedroom door, dreading the idea of her sitting up in bed looking healthy and well. But to her relief, the patient did not suddenly act fine. In fact, she was lying there looking like she had been through some trauma, because she had. And it wasn't hidden anymore. Caroline was about to speak to explain things, but then was shocked when Peter Esten spoke first.
Look. Look at her. Awful.
I'm so sorry, Caroline.
What? What do you mean?
Please forgive me.
You know about this?
I really thought she'd be different for you. I just felt it.
You knew.
Oh my God, I'm so sorry.
You should have said.
I just knew if I told you her true condition, you'd have never taken the job.
I can't believe
it. She needed someone.
What happened?
Peter said, come with me, and he led Caroline out of the bedroom to another room where he sat down, and it was then that he told her about the old stone hut.
It happened on the day we were hunting when the accident happened. But we just started to realize that Meg was missing, so we looked around calling her name, and eventually we found an old stone hut. It was...
Go on.
God, we found her in there. She was lying there on the floor. We rushed in.
And?
Her shotgun must have gone off. She took it all in her legs and her back. She was a seriously accomplished sportswoman. I still can't understand how she accidentally shot herself. It doesn't make sense.
It's insane.
Caroline, I've thought about this over and over, and I think the only feasible theory is that she must have set her shotgun against the wall, and it was damp in there, so it must have slipped off and hit the floor. And when it did, it somehow went off, a freak accident. The shotgun pellets damaged her spine, so... She was paralyzed from the waist down.
Caroline asked what the hut actually was. Perhaps she was expecting him to say it was an old ritualistic site or a place for devil worship, but he said nothing special. It had actually only been the home of a very old man who had lived there for many years. He was a recluse because he despised the world, and so he lived in that old hut, hating everybody until the day he died.
But how does that lead to what she's like now?
I don't know. I don't know. My beautiful wife is now some sort of lunatic. And that deep, foul voice that comes out of her, I just can't understand it. Something happened in that hut. It scares me.
Just then, Caroline stopped him for a second. She had noticed that Mrs. Esten had become very quiet. And so she said, "Look, we need to stop this for a sec. I've got to go and check on my patient." And she left the room as Peter stayed put. I think he was just probably traumatized by it all and upset. This is the direct quote that Caroline Spencer wrote in her report for Brad Steiger.
"I will never forget that sight. I've seen death in many manifestations, but I pray I shall never again see what I saw in that room. Mrs. Esten's facial features became distorted into expressions of malignant evil. The face lying on that silk pillow resembled that of a gargoyle, some hideous demon. Somehow I steeled myself to check for pulse and for respiration. There was not a blur of it."
Caroline made the solemn walk back to Peter Esten, who was waiting in the other room, and she broke the news that his wife was dead. He was crushed. But thankfully, she pleaded with him not to go in because she knew he wouldn't recognize her face anymore. And so he agreed. And so he didn't see the final state of his beautiful, unfortunate wife in that moment. Caroline Spencer later wrote this.
"Later, I learned that Meg Esten had been buried quietly in a closed casket funeral. The mortician had worked for several hours on her face, but her features continued to slip back into that horrible grimace. Whatever had possessed Meg Esten had won a physical victory. I only pray that it had not been able to claim her soul as well as her body."
And so what do you make of this disturbing case? Was it just made up? It's got so many elements of the Exorcist film, the vomit, the screaming, the vulgarity. Is that all this is? It's just a rehash of that story that somehow made it out into the paranormal world? Or, on the other hand, did Brad Steiger interview a genuine woman who was talking about a patient who suffered from a psychological condition that caused her to act like she had two different personalities? Was her mental state misdiagnosed as spiritual? That is such a serious danger, and we should be incredibly cautious before labeling something as demonic. Indeed, I would encourage you to check out another video of mine called Murder by Exorcism, which specifically shows what can happen when people decide to call another person a demon. Or could she actually have been possessed by something or someone? And did Caroline somehow perform a kind of ad hoc exorcism with her prayers and her talk about God? And what do you think could have possibly happened in the stone hut to kickstart this horrendous chain of events? Let me know your theories, and do get in touch if you know anything more about this case, especially if you have any connection with the people involved. Caroline Spencer, Meg and Peter Esten, for example. I know this happened in 1969, but you never know, there might be someone out there who knows. And if you want to know more about me and my work, my books and stuff like this, then check out peterlaws.co.uk. But until next time, keep an eye on the shadows. They might just have their eyes on you. I'm Peter Laws. Good night.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.